Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show. Today, at the moment, I don't seem to have my wingman Dave Milner with us, Dangerous Dave, but bear with me. As I say, things are up in here a little bit, but let me just read out, as I say, this is a very special day. This is Remembrance Day 2022, and I'm going to read this script, what Dave put down. Unfortunately, I can't see him in the studio at this moment in time. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing items of interest surrounding Remembrance Day in the UK and Veterans Day in the United States. We hold the highest regard for those who have served our nations and those who continue to do so. We honour them for their sacrifices and we will always remember. So there you go, that's the script for this evening. I just want to say a quick hello to my dear friend in the chat, and of course that's Duck Northwest Media, and he's giving a big thumbs up to the English Defence League. Jeff, man, Mitchell, thank you very much there, brother. Good to see you. At this moment, it's hot, and I see Bigfoot's joined us as well. So good to see both of you gentlemen with us this evening. Bigfoot, yeah, just saying, Duck Northwest Media is just saying Bigfoot. Bigfoot saying, oh, Duck, Jeff and Agador. So much danger in the area. I have a hard hat on. and the steel toe shoes, yeah, I'm with you. Well, there is, unfortunately, we do live in those times, don't we, guys? But, it is what it is. We keep as safe as we possibly can, but, you know, there's always dangers out there. That's the sad fact of life, isn't it? But today's a special day. We cannot forget those that have given so much, and paying the ultimate sacrifice for their countries and their nations, as many of our ancestors did in both wars, the first, second, and all the other conflicts that we've had in the past. But that's why we're here today. That's why we come and we talk about the issues. And unfortunately, as I say, I still can't see Dave with us this evening. So I'm really going a bit not to any type of the script as such. But the show must go on, you know, and I've got two great gentlemen in the chat room who joins us every week. And as I say, it's unfortunate because I can't see Dave tonight, and I did try to give him a call on the Skype, which there might be some issues with the internet or something like that. You never know, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm just going to see, maybe you guys can help me along a little bit this evening in the chat. Well, if Dave doesn't arrive, then I will just have to try to wing it the best way I possibly can. And speak about the things of what's going on. It seems there's lots of things going on, but as I say, Remembrance Sunday is, we can never forget, can we? This is it. I'm just going to come into the chat for a second. Duck Northwest made it, it's so much danger in the area. I have all that on and still toe cap shoes, yeah. I'm with you. It's been quite peaceful here today. I mean, watch a few of the service things going on. The first time I've seen the King, King Charles, doing his thing. Paying honour and respect, and it was good to see the monarch actually doing it today. There was a lot going on today across the country, and it always is. You know, remember Sunday's always quite a busy time, and I'm just popping back now just to see if Dave's arrived, and he hasn't. So I will continue. So where do we start? Well, as I say, we lost so many men back in the First World War. You know, we call it the Trench War, and it was supposed to be a war to end all war. Do you remember, guys? The total confusion, even at the end, it was in total confusion leading up to the Second World War. But, you know, all them brave men, and even some kids who joined when they shouldn't have joined up, and they were only 14 and that, and some of them sadly lost their lives on the battlefield, and it was must have been very scary. You try to imagine it, you know, the king, the country, for your nation, you know, and you take and I could be, I'm just holding just to see if this is my buddy Dave. So bear with me a second, and I'm just going to see. Let's bring them live. I'm going to bring them live. Why not? We'll give it a go. Yes, good. Is that you, Dave? Let me see. Is that Mr. Milner?
I've got you, Jeff. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you, man. Got you. Oh, my goodness me, Dave. did you have issues? Or was it an internet? I was just saying that to the guys. Was going down because I didn't see you. So I'm glad that you're here with me, brother. Because I was trying to wing it.
Right. Good well, pleasure. Okay. Did the opening theme come off? That was the first question I have.
Spot on. Absolutely.
Okay.
Spot on. And that's what I was saying about, you know, when we started the show. I said, you know, that we must always remember the sacrifice. You know, this is 2022, and there was the First World War, which was supposed to end all wars, wasn't it, Dave? That was the war to end all wars. Unfortunately, as I was telling, and I don't know if I'm right, if I've maybe got things wrong a little bit, but I said, unfortunately, when it did end, it was in a bit of a confused state, wasn't it? Dave, it wasn't, you know, you signed a treaty, blah, blah, blah. It didn't even end up like that. So it was pre-moved on to the Second World War. You know, that's what a lot of people seem to think about. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, but it's just the way that different people look at things, isn't it, Dave? But it's so good to have you here, brother. So good.
Yeah. Well, you're right about the... really the pause in the same war, which was World War One and then World War Two. Yeah, it did happen that way. But we're here today to honor those veterans, not only of the bigger wars, World War One and Two, but all the rest, that all the people that have sacrificed, and all the people that continue to sacrifice to this day. And before, though, Jeff, we get into that, there's one issue, there's one bit of house cleaning that I want to get into, housekeeping rather, and then one issue before we get into honoring our veterans. The first one is that you guys may remember last week we did a show called The Shifters, and Carmel Melamed was supposed to be with us. Well, he tried to call in, as he puts it, many times using the Blog Talk Radio call-in number, and it never worked for him. So he became rather frustrated, and he was unable to be on with us. But next week, I will be able to call him through my own connection and have him on the show to talk about not only events around the revolution in Iran, which is still going on, and the Israeli election, just to see not only how the election went, but what state their government is in now, and and the state of their dealings with nations around them. Look forward to that next week, people, and we'll try and get that in for you. We know that some of you guys were looking forward to it. We were looking forward to it. But,
yes.
Hey, it'll be next week. So, the other issue has to do with just one of the stolen elections that occurred in the United States of America on Tuesday. As many people were expecting there to be a quote-unquote red wave. I wasn't particularly expecting that. But there were some elections that were just blatantly stolen. And, Jeff, I'm gonna just bring this one up because this has to do with an event that's going to happen Monday, which is tomorrow. The election in Mississippi District 2. Now, you guys may have remembered that I endorsed Brian Flowers for that office. He was running against Benny Thompson, who had been in that office for 30 years and had really let his district in Mississippi just go to heck. We're talking about no trash pickup. We're talking about water so dirty that people can't open their mouths when they take a shower because they're afraid feces might come out of the spigot. It's just diabolical. And yet, his election was stolen for him by the Democrats because he's also the head of the January 6th committee. And I'll just give you some brief background because we could do an entire show on this, but that's not what today's show is for. Basically, what happened was the voting, the vote counting stopped at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, and people went home. And the polling places and places where the ballots were taken were locked up and everything, and people went home. And also, what also went home were five of the thumb drives that were supposed to be with the voting computers and the ballots. Those also went home with election workers. Now, you add that to the fact that the Commissioner of Elections in Mississippi is currently under indictment for fraud and was currently under indictment for fraud before the election even started, and you can see how sketchy that is. Now, guys, details about this one. This is going to be a gathering that is going to take place. I can tell you right now that if you want details on this, all the details on it, and it takes a while to get these, go to the TECN.TV Rumble page. Ken McClinton, CEO of TECN.TV, has put together a tremendous program, and I can tell you that it has gotten, every time I look, the number of views that this thing has gotten just jumps up and up and up and up. Wow. And, I mean, I don't know what his live listens were for this, but I did know that last time I checked on this one, the views on it for Rumble were well over 1,000. Now, the event that is going, so you'll get full details of why this event is going to take place on Monday. And here are the details, guys. This is for the Hinds, that's H-I-N-D-S, County Election Commission meeting. That's where the demonstration is going to take place. That's going to be on 701 Commerce Street in Jackson, Mississippi. And the zip code, by the way, is 39205 if you need that. But that's going to happen on the 14th. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Time. That's going to be 10 a.m. local time there in Mississippi tomorrow. All right. And it's going to be to protest the compromised Benny Thompson versus Brian Flowers election. And basically what you have down there, before I leave this issue and get to what we really should be talking about, is you have a Secretary of State in Mississippi also who says, well, as long as the election is certified on the 15th, I don't care. So The people have to show their displeasure. This is voter disenfranchisement, and it's racist on top of that, because Brian Flowers had a lot of support, and it was just, the rug was just pulled right out from under him. There was all kinds of chicanery. And with that, Jeff, I'm going to turn it back over to you for a comment, maybe comment out of the chat and that sort of thing before we get to what we're really supposed to be talking about today.
Yeah, it's the same old story. The fix was on at 10 o'clock. They went home with the thumb drives and Bush, all the shenanigans, whatever you want to call it, was taking place. It's quite obvious that they're getting quite good at it. And if you call it out, you get all the called names, this, that and the other. Let's say election denier, things like that. You know, you get beaten with that stick, like you've seen over a couple of last elections. We see it, unfortunately, it does seem to be the norm at the moment, and it's tragic, really. People give up their time to go to the ballot box and to put their vote in, and then to find that it's been whipped away from them. Absolutely disgraceful, and it's about time that people rose up against this issue, because the way it's going, there's never going to, it's become like a banana republic, hasn't it? You know, the voting system, Dave, it's ruined. What have they done to the system? And, you know, I feel for the people, genuine people, people like yourself who endorse this gentleman, Dave, and many other people. Look what they're doing to people that go there. They go and put their ballot in, their vote, and I voted the right, I thought with my heart, and I voted with my soul, and, you know, come to the, they find that this has been stolen, because the other guy had nothing to offer, absolutely nothing. Although he'd been there for 30 years, he delivered nothing to the people. Dirty water, things coming out of the track, the faucet, oh, it was disgraceful. And he looks like he's going to continue to do the same dirty work, simply because the fix was in. Dave, I don't know what's in the chat, I don't know if there are people, how Bigfoot, and let me see, I'm just seeing what's, if anything's been said. Well, no, there's nothing's been said. But, you know, this is just my way of thinking at this moment. With what you've said, Dave, and the way I feel about, I see it happen before. I see the election being spun just like that, Bush. And I thought, hello, something's going on. And the same thing has happened again. I think the Senate now is back to the Democrats. I think the House is won by the Republicans. I'm not sure exactly, because there'll probably be another fix that will just put things back to status quo. Back to you, Dave.
Right, well, I expect that the Republicans will take the House, and the Democrats, yes, the fix will be in for them to keep the Senate. But, yeah, let's do our normal here as far as the chat goes. I want to welcome everybody to the chat, including Biggie, Bigfoot's Place, .blogspot.com. That's where you can get his blog. And welcome to you, and welcome to anybody else in the chat, maybe Duck Northwest Media. Don't know. But if you guys wanted to get in the chat, go to – we podcast here live every Sunday at – 8:30 p.m. GMT in the UK, and at 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. And if you want to get in the chat, just go to blogtalkradio.com, look at the White Top Center search box, type in English Fence League Radio or EDL Radio Show, either one, and follow the links. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can get into the chat as well, and Jeff will give you a shout-out and read comments and whatnot. Now, we're going to get into what we really should be talking about today, instead of scuzzball nutsacks that want to steal elections. That is the best of us, the ones who sacrifice and put on the uniform when they don't have to, and those who served when they felt they had to, and those who sacrificed not only their civil liberties, but in some cases their lives and their full abilities. All right, and the first story I'm going to read from here, and Jeff, if you don't mind, what I want to do here is ping pong between the states, or rather the UK, starting with, of course, and then the states, and of course, you know, we're going to hit at least one Commonwealth nation here. If you're good with that, we'll begin.
Yeah, let's go for it, Dave. Yeah, thank you.
All right. All right, now this one here. Now, since we've had a bit taken out of our time, I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I'm going to read some of this. This one here is worth looking for, guys. This is from the 11th. It is by Rory Tingle, home affairs correspondent for the Mail Online. Nice name there. All right, now, here's the headline. We will remember them. Britain falls silent to honor the millions of war dead on Armistice Day as Big Ben rings 11 times, as you guys heard right at the start, to mark the occasion for the first time in 5 years. And I wanted to make sure to record that, and there's a little video in this story that actually has Big Ben playing, going 11 times, so that you guys were able to hear that. So there we go. Now I'm reading the subheads here. Services are being held across the country for the yearly commemoration of the end of the First World War. Duke and Duchess of Gloucester are attending the National Memorial Arboretum Armistice Day service. In Edinburgh, the city's Deputy Lord Provost, Chancellor Leslie Marion Cameron, gathered with veterans. And the next one, today could be the warmest, now that was Friday, could have been the warmest Armistice Day on record, with temperatures across the four nations in the mid-teens. And Jeff, as I scroll down, so, I'll ask you, since, it was Friday, was it a particularly warm day?
Sorry?
Warm day?
No, it wasn't actually cold. I mean, really, for this time of year, which we normally find November, that was like in where you are, Dave, but we normally find that in November it does turn very, very cold, very snappy, come bonfire night and that sort of thing. It's really quite bitter. But this year, it's mild. This is probably not the most mildest November that I'd known for a few years. So, yes, it was mild where other Novembers have gone. Yeah, it's been out of the unusual, actually.
Well, there you go. Now, I'll read a little bit more of the story. But, guys, it's definitely a story worth going and looking at. Now, I put up pictures for the show page here at blogtalkradio.com. But here's something that you don't know. You can only put up 16. And yeah, the Daily Mail has a penchant for some of the best cinematography when it comes to, photojournalism, when it comes to events like Armistice Day and things of that nature. They are really, really good at it. And I mean, I could have used about half or more of these pictures in the show page, because it was just spectacular this year. So the hat that I don't wear is off to the photographers who worked for the Mail Online and got these great pictures. And it's definitely worth looking for this story and reading through it. If nothing else, just to take a look at these fabulous pictures. Now, I'm going to read just a bit of this. I'm just going to read a bit of it. Britain fell silent today to mark Armistice Day with a two-minute silence observed at 11 a.m. in cities, towns, and villages around the country. In London, veterans and dignitaries gathered by the cenotaph while Big Ben rang 11 times to mark the occasion after being muffled for 5 years due to repairs. Right. Now, this, by the way, was the reason why they had to use a recording when the UK finally severed itself from Europe instead of actually letting Big Ben ring on that occasion. But to continue with the story, the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester attended the National Memorial Arboretum, Armistice Day services in Staffordshire, and services were held in London, Edinburgh, Belfast, and Portsmouth. Foreign Secretary James Cleverly, who said Russia had, quote, shattered, end quote, peace by waging war in Ukraine, his mouth shut about that because this wasn't about that fakeness, but I continue, was in Paris to attend a remembrance service hosted by French President Emmanuel Macron, a guy who said that he didn't even consider himself really a Frenchman, but more a European, to go on. Sorry, guys. All right, here we go. Labor leader Sir Keir Starmer, there you go, joined veterans and railway staff outside Euston Station in central London to mark the somber moment. And I'm surprised he actually even bothered. But anyway, in Edinburgh, the city's deputy, Lord Provost, Councillor Leslie Morrison Cameron, joined veterans serving personnel and the public to pay tribute at the city's Garden of Remembrance. That's nice. The short open-air service led by Legion Scotland National Parade Reverend Dr. Karen Campbell was followed. Okay, let me scroll down here a little bit. was followed by the laying of wreaths before the 1 o'clock gun fired at 11 a.m. from Edinburgh Castle. Today could be the warmest Armistice Day on record, with temperatures across the four nations, in the mid-teens. Well, they used to be four kingdoms. So there you go with that one. That's the beginning of it. And guys, I really do recommend that you look through this entire story yourselves. The Daily Mail should be congratulated, and you don't often have chances to congratulate media because they're usually just complete hose heads. But they should be congratulated for this because they did a very good job of coverage, particularly in their photography. It is really something good to look at. So, Jeff, any comments on that before we bounce over to one of the places
I'd
in the United States,
buddy?
I'd just
like to say that they probably will be entered for some of the best photography that was done for the Armistice Days. You know, the work that they do, that they put into, and yes, they might not always be on side with the things that we discuss, but they are really good, with photographically of catching those moments in time that will go on through time and will be remembered. So I hope that they do win some special awards, because I do know there are different awards for this sort of journalism, photography, exactly, because they all work very hard, and I congratulate and salute them for what they've done, because that was deeply respectful of what they did, and you know, onward and forward with what they do. My personal morning, as I said, yes, it was a little bit different. It was a milder day to other Novembers, which there are many, many of before, which have been so bitter. But yeah, it was probably the mildest that I've known for many years. The whole day, and I will say this about this time of year, Dave. I mean, you know, I was listening to my football today before, and they'd done, you know, a couple of minutes silence, what they would normally do on a Saturday instead of a Sunday. And you know, the thing about it is what I've noticed over a couple of events is how silent. Now, don't forget, my football club can be very vocal, but it feels silent, Dave, absolutely silent. They're from both sides, you know, because my team is playing away anyway. But the respect, I'm noticing it more as time goes by, that more people start to understand the significance of the sacrifice that people fought and died for, and some seriously injured. So maybe that reflects the time that we live now, Dave. Hopefully, you know, that moves forward and we see that type of thing, because this is what galvanizes countries. This is what brings countries together, because there is so much sacrifice to be paid. When you go to war, there's a great chance that you go on a battlefield, you're not going to come home, you know. This is just the way it is. And sadly, a lot of the men had very serious, grave injuries and probably took all their lives to recover from. But that's all I wanted to say, Dave, and I'm just going to pop into the chat just to see what the gentlemen have said evening there. They're okay. There's a couple of comments earlier on when I first arrived there, but they're just listening to the show, and I'm both enjoying it. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a very interesting point, Jeff, and it may not be so much an indicator for today, but it may be an indicator for the future, because as people remember the sacrifices that those people have made over the years, it may be that a generation in the future is going to, and this will probably be long after you and I are gone, is going to be preparing to do what I predicted they're going to do, which is take our world back. You know, it could very well be. And the other thing about all this is that it's no longer about all the World War One or World War Two. All of the World War One participants are gone. They're not around anymore. There are very few World War II participants around. Now it's about the Korean War. It's about, it's about Vietnam. And yes, there were British people in Vietnam. It's about the Falklands War. It's about Afghanistan. It's about a lot of them. These people are getting up there in age, and there's a lot of there's a lot to respect when it comes to that. I'm just going to read a little thing here about the the Korean War, and just looking at the UK and the US both, because both participated in that conflict. And we're just going to go with the war dead themselves, and I'm just reading down this list here. The United Kingdom had 710 dead in that war.
Wow.
And let's find the wounded here. Let's make sure. Okay, yeah, 710 dead from the United Kingdom, and 2,278 wounded, and of course the United States had 54,246 dead and 103,284 wounded. So this was, there will be more Korean War veterans soon at these things that, and even Vietnam War veterans at these things than there were for World War One and Two, because sadly we're losing those great patriots, and you know it's interesting. I'm going to read this bit here too for the UK, because the question is, was the UK involved in the Vietnam War, just aside from handling materials and things of that nature? Okay, and I'm going to just increase the size here of this thing so I can read it a little bit better. The British involvement in the Vietnam War began after they sent a few, here we go. I'm just going to do this a little bit more here. There we go. After they sent a few military advisors, that's what we did too at first, to help train Vietnamese soldiers. They also supplied their allies with equipment, such as artillery and airplanes. But by far, the biggest contribution was providing money for America's war efforts. In fact, it is estimated that Britain gave about £5 million per year during the time period. Yeah. Now, were there any British soldiers in Vietnam? Right. Believe it or not, British troops actually fought in the Vietnam War. However, they only had a small number of soldiers participate due to their government's decision that committing too many resources would be ill-advised. Because one of the things, as you know, I'm going to pause this, because one of the things that you have to remember, Jeff and listeners, is that at the same time, the troubles were really kicking up in Northern Ireland, and IRA terrorism was really beginning to be a problem for the UK. So there was that concern as well. Now I'm going to continue reading. The first group of soldiers sent by Britain was called the Queen's Own Highlanders. They were involved with carrying out security and patrol duties, while also providing intelligence support for airstrikes against North Vietnamese targets. that was fun. They spent about 6 months stationed in a camp called Phong Kong Dinh. Right? Another group of soldiers served from 1971 to 1972 alongside other special forces units. Their roles was similar to the first group of soldiers, but they took on more of an advisory position after America's direct involvement had ended and North Vietnamese troops were infiltrating South Vietnam. They helped train local militias who acted as a security force for refugee camps in Saigon. Okay, so there you go. A lot of people may not know that, but there were UK soldiers in Vietnam, and yes, they did do some fighting, and they did pull off some important missions. And a lot of people don't realize that. They look at Vietnam as
like
only
a
war
in the dark a little bit, don't they? We've always done that. Of course, we have soldiers engaging with the enemy. I mean, but they don't want it too widely known, because it can be counterproductive. The thing that gets me, what we used to discuss in the numbers, was the Korea conflict. I cannot believe there was over 700,000 of our soldiers killed. That shocked me, Dave. I didn't want to interject, but it took me by surprise when America lost, I think he said 54,000, and we lost 700,000. If that's right, that number's right, that's significant, isn't it? That is, it proves how engaged we was with that conflict. That's the way I'm reading it, and I might be wrong, but I just want to come back to you on that. Was that right, 700,000 plus the UK lost in the Korea conflict, Dave? Back to you.
No, Jeff, that was 715 total.
That was 715.
Yes, that's right. But
not 100,000, not 700,000, no?
No. 715 total.
Oh, thank you, Dave, because I was thinking, right. My goodness me, we was engaged, wasn't we? If that's the number. So, sorry, Dave, I misread you. My apologies, brother. Back to you.
Well, yeah, so these celebrations in the UK, have some rather younger participants in it, and they deserve as much respect as anyone, especially those who fought in conflicts that, as Jeff said, they weren't as glorified as World War I and World War II at home. Of course, and then there was the Falklands War, where many British soldiers fought, and that was a little bit better received than Vietnam or even Korea for that matter. So the faces at these ceremonies are changing, but they're changing over here and all around the world too. And I'm going to go ahead and bounce over to the United States now. This one is very brief. All right. This one comes from Wichita, Kansas. All right. And I'm just going to do this right here. This is from a TV station in Wichita, Kansas. And this talks about how the Veterans Day was celebrated on Friday here, right? And this one is only 54 seconds long, so this isn't very long. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Here we go.
Gathered in downtown Wichita for a Veterans Day program at Veterans Memorial Park. It began with buglers playing the national anthem. The event also featured a speech from retired Senior Master Sergeant Ron Bogart. He was a combat photographer during the Vietnam War. He talked about his service in the history of Veterans Day.
The United States Congress adopted a resolution on June 4, 1926, requesting that President Calvin Coolidge issue annual proclamations calling for the observance of November 11 with appropriate ceremonies. A congressional act approved May 13, 1938, May November 11 in each year. A congressional act approved May 13.
Following his remarks, there was a special commemorative musical tribute, rifle salute, and the playing of taps.
Wow.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell.
Well, that
Jeff.
Was interesting. I've got to admit, Dave, I found that really interesting. And it shows, I mean, it takes maybe a couple of years for things to be put together, but it seems everybody's following his step with the whole situation. And it does, there's a lot of respect out there, and we love that. We love the respect for the soldiers that served, and sometimes the sacrifice that was offered. It was a hard time for the families and everything. I mean, that's what I was thinking, for the families back home, getting that you know, there's the mailman. Oh, it's a telegram. You know, back in, I'm talking about back in war, in Second World War, when you used to get the mail come and you used to get your telegram and women used to, oh, no, I know what that is. And how scary that must have been for the wives back home, hoping that she wouldn't get that telegram come through. You know what I mean, Dave? But as things have moved on a little bit now from those times, but it's just, I'm just thinking the whole family as a unit together of how, you know, people took these things and boom, suddenly it just destroyed them, didn't it, you know? But I just want to say that because, you know, our thoughts and prayers are always with those people that served for their countries and nations. So there you go, Dave. I just had a little, just a thumbs up from Duck Northwest Media, and he's saying this is just a little bit different from what we was just talking about, but he says Donald J. Trump to make special announcement at Mar-a-Lago on November the 15th. That was just a short little thing. And I thought I wanted to share that with yourself, Dave, and our great listeners. With that, Dave, back to you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And let me just say that that story, and I'm going to find that magnified part there so that I can give proper credit. That last story came, that was by Brian Newton of KSN TV Channel 5 in Wichita, Kansas. It was frankly typical of Veterans Day celebrations and observances throughout the United States. And to say that it's typical takes nothing away from it, because it's, as it happens with Remembrance Day in the UK, this happens all over our nation, cities, towns, villages. It really doesn't matter. Everybody has their veterans that they're proud of, and you know, they want to show them, extend to them that gratitude that there always is. And to that vein, Jeff, part of the story that I read right at first was an audio that was recorded by Admiral Radican, right? And I'm going to go ahead and play that if you're ready.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to call back in a minute. I'm going to let you go with that, Dave, and because I've got about 2 or 3 minutes, so it doesn't matter if I run a minute or so over. So go ahead, bro. I want to listen to this. That's you.
Okay, well, this will be just about 2 3/4 minutes, so you should be good, Jeff. Okay, guys,
okay.
You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. This is from, of course, the 11th.
Every day, the British Armed Forces work to protect our nation and to strengthen its security and prosperity across land, sea and air, in cyber and in space. That is why Remembrance, and Remembrance Sunday in particular, carries such profound importance within the armed forces. Amidst our busy lives, it provides a moment to pause, to reflect on the nature of service and sacrifice, and to consider why this still matters today. For serving soldiers, sailors and aviators, we remember recent conflicts. We remember the examples of service and courage we have seen, and in some cases we remember the friends we have lost. We also pay tribute to the generations who have gone before us, those who fought for our nation in the First and Second World Wars, and in the conflicts that followed. This year, we commemorate 2 anniversaries in particular. The famous victory in the desert at El Alamein, which helped to turn the tide of war 80 years ago, and the remarkable liberation of the Falkland Islands some 40 years later. Their sacrifices were not in vain, or to paraphrase the inscription on the Kohima Memorial, "For our tomorrow, they gave their today." Remembrance reconnects us with the values that unite us at home and that unite us with our friends and allies in the world. Values of democracy, sovereignty, human rights, and the rule of law. The people of Ukraine and their heroic struggle for freedom reminds us that we can never take these rules for granted. It is the duty of every generation to strengthen and protect them. Finally, there is a simple symbolism of the poppy. We do not wear it merely for tradition. It is an echo of the past and a promise for the future. The poppies which grew in Flanders Field remind us that however turbulent the storm, hope springs eternal. And after the 2 minute silence ends and the sound of the last post fades, His Majesty's forces will stand with purpose renewed, ready once again to do our duty for king and country.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow, that was amazing, Dave. I'll tell you what, it took my breath away. Listen to his words and how it makes you think. And I'm going to call back, but I just want to say, wow, what a powerful speech. For the future and everything, you know, with poppy and everything that surrounds it. So that gentleman with that speech, it blew me away, Dave. And I just want to pass it back to you while I call back him, Dave. Okay, mate?
All righty, Jeff. We're going to wait for Jeff to call back in. And, hey, we're going to have some more stuff. There was quite a bit of stuff, and I really had to pray hard to get to get some things going here, partly just because, sadly, over here in the United States, we were too blocked up, frankly, by all of this election stuff, and I don't want to come off sounding like I have a big head or like I think too much of myself or something like that, but I really wasn't surprised by a lot of it, though a lot of other people were. I think that in many cases, a lot of people were being set up with this business in the leftist media, by the way, of, oh, it's going to be a huge red wave, woo. You know, it's almost like you might as well not even go out and vote. It's going to be a big red wave, knowing that their side was going to cheat. And that's a reason why there was so little. I really had to dig on the day before yesterday to find some good stuff to put on here. But good stuff was found, and good stuff will be played. And welcome back, Jeff, second part of the English Fencing Radio Show. Yeah, Remembrance 2022. All right, now we're gonna flip over to the United States again, and here we're gonna hear from one of our newest congressman-elects. And this here is gonna be about 7 minutes, and I think you guys are going to find that interesting. You know I'm being a jerk when I talk through my nose. All right, so, but I think you guys are gonna find this good and interesting and powerful. All right. So, yeah, this is going to be 6.5 minutes. You guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Check this out. This is from Breitbart, by the way.
Dirk Van Orden is on the line with us. He's been popping in from time to time on the show. A really interesting person, and has got an inspirational story coming from nothing, becoming a Navy SEAL, and now is headed to the Congress, congressman-elect of Wisconsin, flipping a district red. So a real bright spot of Tuesday's results, and it's always great when he's on the show. Let's hear from congressman-elect Dirk Van Orden. Let's talk about Veterans Day briefly. It is Veterans Day.
Yep.
What are things that people can do to honor veterans? Because we all appreciate veterans, and it feels like sometimes it's less apparent what we can do other than just voicing our appreciation to show people we actually care about them and we honor them.
Buy them a cup of coffee. Rake some leaves in their yard if they need help. Say thanks. Look at their kids and say, understand, you know, you missed your mom or dad being gone for years, and I appreciate it. And they did the country's fitting. But, you know, so I did, what, 26 years, I guess, 8 deployments of 6 months or longer. I did 5 combat deployments. I spent about 16 years away from home.
Wow.
Okay, well, check this out, man. I talked to all these folks, and they're like, I only did 2 years. I was in the reserves, or I was in the National Guard. And I look at them, and I say, stop it. Stop degrading your service. You did more than 99% of our fellow Americans. So seriously, just today, you know, stand a little taller, puff your chest out a bit, throw your shoulders back, put your head up, you know, and walk proudly. I'm so proud of these men and women because they stepped outside of what people do in America now, and they raised their hand, they swore allegiance to the Constitution, they put on a uniform, and they defended the country. So if you spent 20 minutes or 20 years in the military today, just today, I mean, because, you know, hubris leads to bad things, but celebrate the fact that you did that. And smile, yes, man. I mean, these restaurants and everybody, they give you free coffee and a dinner or lunch or whatever. Just go do it. Enjoy your day.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, and sometimes we forget to celebrate the things that we've accomplished. I'm terrible about this personally. I'm always moving on to the next thing in my life. And if you're a veteran out there, have a great day. Enjoy yourself. And it falls on a Friday. Have a great weekend. Celebrate yourself. And you're so beloved. This is one of the things where we are united as a country. We do love our veterans, and we really do appreciate them.
Yeah, it's awesome. Man, I'm smiling right now. You can't see me because we're on the radio, but I get so excited. You know what I'm doing today? I'm going to go to a nursing home. I live in a little town called Prairie du Chien. There's not 6,000 people here. And I'm going to go talk to some veterans. Because we have to, at the real politics from the grassroots level. This isn't a political thing I'm doing today. I'm going to go down to a nursing home, and I'm going to talk to men and women who served our nation. And sit with them for, you know, a couple hours, and maybe have lunch or something like that. Just tell them that I appreciate them. The men and women that served in uniform before me gave me the right and the ability to speak to you today on the radio, and the ability for me to rise from nothing. Man, I was raised in abject rural poverty. I come from a broken home. I was raised by a single mom, and I'm going to be in Congress next year. And that is directly due to the efforts of the veterans that served before me, and I will honor that and them.
Congressman-elect Eric Van Orden is my guest. Let me ask you about, with all your deployments, I'm going to ask you, it's a two-part question. What was the hardest part? What was your favorite part about being deployed so often?
The hardest part was holding one of my friend's hands as he died in Afghanistan and listening to his wife on a satellite phone cry out to God in his ear because she knew she'd never see him alive again. Mm-hmm. That was very difficult, and that weighs on me. I think the best part was sitting next to a friend of mine holding his hand as he died in Afghanistan, listening to his wife cry out to God because she knew she'd never see her husband alive again, because I understood that I was in the presence of greatness.
Wow. Wow. Very powerful. Do you think that with this, trying to connect these two topics, it just feels like there's still this desire to have our military veterans lead our country in a lot of ways. It seems like the dust hasn't settled on all the races, but it just seems like it's another one of these elections where you're seeing a lot of representation from armed forces. And it's just something that everyone gets very excited about, that fact. It just seems like, I know it may be just Breitbart Nation, but it just seems like a lot of people are just very excited. We just learned that Ryan Zinke is going to go back to the Congress. It's a lot of cool stuff in that regard. And what is it about the character of people in our military that just we want their leadership in other elements of life?
I think that writ large, Americans want to know that there's other Americans out there that have proven that they're willing to put the mission before themselves, and that we understand the mission is America. We have all, as I said earlier, raised our hand and sworn allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. We didn't pledge allegiance to political party or an individual person. It's to the Constitution. And Americans see that, and they're hungry for men and women who have served and have proven that we understand that there's something greater than us, and that's America. That's what they want. That's why they want us to serve, because they understand that we've done it before, and we're going to do it again. I'm incredibly thankful. I'm just full of gratitude.
And so are we all. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, say something while I wipe this tear out of my eye. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry, Dave. I don't know if I was talking over you. I hope not. I just want to say how humbling it was to listen to that gentleman, and some things he said just sort of took my breath away, you know. I mean, some of the hardest things he come across, and that, it's just the way that he was talking, and big respect to him, and I'm glad he's going back to, or he's going to Congress. I think it's January, isn't it, when they return, sort of the newly elected and that. So that is a great story in itself, Dave. But I just wanted, I've got a comment out of the chat from Duck, Northwest Media. He says, a blog talk show back in 2015-2016, I think was a show put on by two brothers. I cannot think of the name that had 500 people in the chat room, blog talk max amount in chat. In 2022, we don't see that. 500 in chat? I would like to say I agree, because we don't see that in... on blog talk. I mean, I remember the time we had Tommy Robinson on, which I don't know, maybe we broke records. At the time, it was staggering, the numbers, but I can't remember a time like today that we should have a lot more people in the chat, shouldn't we, Dave? You know what I'm saying? And he makes a good, valid point. And with that, Dave, back to you. I agreed with him anyway, what he said.
Yeah, there should be more that listen, and we did, you know, I ran a, because we couldn't be on the 11th, I ran a show that Jan and I did on, recorded on the 9th of November in 2018. This was when Jeff had gotten out of the hospital with COPD, and he couldn't really talk. And we called that Remembrance 100 because we knew that, you know, that Sunday was November the 11th, and we knew that it was the 100th anniversary of the end of World War One. So we did a special tribute, and I hyped that up quite a bit this week, and I hope people will go back and listen to that one too.
It was exceptional, but, Dave. I'm talking over you, but I just got to say, I listened again. I've listened to it a couple of times, and I would say that was exceptional. The information that you and Jan was talking about was wonderful, and I would listen to it again and again and again. So people that haven't listened to that, please check it out. It was fantastic to listen to again. I've listened to it about 3 or 4 times, so there you go. Back to you, Dave. Thank you.
No, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. I mean, we really hoped that, you know, we would do a show worthy of you, because we knew you were with us in spirit. And yeah, Doug, you're right. More people should be paying attention to this. And as you might know, as I said during, you know, while Jeff was calling back in, so many people over here in the States were just blocked up with this stupid election stuff. And whatever happens in our countries, whether it be the States, the UK, you know, France, you know, any other nation that had people that went out and fought on the side of right, whatever is going on, there should always be a pause for them to thank those who sacrificed for their nations. That should that should extend beyond political parties, as Van Orden said. It should, but sadly, too often it doesn't. But that's why we're here, Duck, and that's why we do what we do on for Remembrance Day. That's why we do what we do for Memorial Day in the summer. You know, that's why we do what we do for 7/7 and 9/11, because we do remember and we will remember. And however many listeners we get, we're going to get. But that doesn't mean that we're going to stop remembering. And with that, guys, I'd like to flip over again to the UK. This is a story I found, again, off the Daily Mail. This one, again, was on the 11th. This was by Harry Howard, which was the history correspondent for the Mail Online. All right, and I'm going to read a bit of this, the headline. The men who gave everything after the honors, after the horrors of war, 1920s archive images reveal World War One veterans making remembrance poppies. Remember what the Admiral said about the poppy guys in historic factory that celebrates its centenary this year. And for Americans, that would be its centennial. All right. Now, I'm just going to read these subheads. The poppy factory was originally set up on the Old Kent Road in southeast London in May of 1922. Sure. I bet you knew, but you know what that is, Jeff. The next one.
No, it yeah, will.
The next one. There you go. You know it well. Yeah. Next one. Founder Major George Hawson was himself a veteran. Who had won the Military Cross in the First World War. The next one. The poppy factory moved to Richmond in 1926. That's the year my grandparents got married, by the way, as it expanded to cater to booming demand for poppies. And then the next one. The next one, they're asking you, did you grow up near this factory? So, hey, if you did, then give them a contact. You know, that information is there. I'll read a bit of this. Again, the pictures are very fascinating, but this is one of the things that the Daily Mail does well. I'll repeat that. Okay, when it was founded in May of 1922, the creator of the poppy factory told his parents that he did not believe it could be a, quote, great success, end quote, but that it was, quote, worth trying, end quote. I like that. I like that a lot. A lot of big stuff gets started just that way. But 100 years on from Major George Hawson's letter, the London poppy production line that is staffed by veterans is still here and thriving. Now, stunning images show First World War wounded veterans working in the factory in the 1920s and 1930s. While weeks of writing his letter, excuse me, guys, within weeks of writing his letter, Major Hawson had employed a team of men who all had physical disabilities to make poppies for the Royal British Legion. The photos, which were shared with Mail Online to mark the poppy factory's centenary, show veterans at work as they put together the creations that would be worn by millions across the country to remember the men lost in the war. And there you go, guys. Now you can read
story.
This article. Yeah, and, to read this article for yourself,
wow.
Guys, you know, you'll see the pictures of these people. And it has a certain resonance with me. As a person with a, you know, I hate to say it, with a disability, even though I just consider it more of an inconvenience. But to see my brothers there, you know, who, oh, guys, as I said in that Remembrance 100 show to Jen, people came back just missing eyes, with just holes where their ears used to be, missing noses, just terrible injuries from the mustard gas, and we're not even talking about all the injuries they received from gunfire and artillery shells and everything else. And there was very little employment back in those days for people with disabilities. So the fact that this major set this place up was an amazing, you know, in my opinion, he was inspired by God to do it. Okay, that's amazing.
Because he thought of the idea, and he thought it might not be successful, but why not give it a go? I love that spirit. That is the fighting spirit. And what sets ideas into motion, and before you know it, it took off. And he probably looked back and go, well, what a good idea. I'm glad I thought that idea, and it put a lot of people in work. I love that, man. I love that story. And it brings it all home to us, doesn't it, Dave? The significance of the poppy and the people it affected and people that was disabled, you know, war veterans. And as you say, eyes missing, parts of nose, ears, things like that. And to go into work doing things like that was amazing. So, yeah, in God's grace, walked he. Back to you, Dave.
That's a great sentiment, Jeff, and I absolutely agree with it. I don't think I can say anything more about that. Is there anything out of the chat before we move on?
I just want to check, Dave. Sometimes I'll get so carried away, and I must never forget. It's just some things that were said earlier. Just me agreeing with what Buck had said. So there you go, Dave. Back to you. I think you're enjoying the show. So I hope you guys are enjoying the show as much as we are. Bringing the show to you and to our wider audience out there. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. And yeah, honestly, I am enjoying it because it is to honor these great people, especially the ones who went when they didn't have to go. It's always an honor, but it's even a break right now from the foolishness and the chicanery and the skullduggery and all the other crap that's going on in politics and in things like that. Guys, I've got at least one story for next week's show after we speak with Carmel Melamed that's just going to make you want to hit something. It made me want to hit something when I heard it, but this is the kind of program that gives us a break from that garbage. And we're going to go now, you know, Jeff, we were talking about the injuries and the disabilities and things that people suffered in the First World War. Well, that continues in all wars. And we'll swing over now, Jeff, to a Commonwealth nation, to the nation of Canada. And I want to congratulate, by the way, a lot of the Canadians who have put a lot of great audios out there for people to find, and it really is inspirational because sadly there are some videos out there now that are these stupid things that have just music playing and they're not narrated, and you know, the music starts playing and there's like subtitles and stuff that you read, and sometimes it just ruins what could be a good subject. But the Canadians have done a good job of putting out these videos with real narration, and more people need to keep doing that, because this stuff, these remembrances and these observances, should be accessible to everyone with just a, you know, one click. But we're going to go ahead and play this one. It's just over 2 minutes long, guys, and this one. This one was, I believe, from 2016, but it's still very relevant today. Check it out. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Donna, an incredibly difficult day for many veterans. One of them described the lead-up from November 1st until November 11th as feeling like he's waking up to go to a funeral every day. For veterans, November 11th is a chance to honor the fallen.
but also a day of deep grief and pain. Memories of those who paid the ultimate price. Friends killed in action. Friends who died in their arms. The smell of an IED filling the air with explosives, dirt, and blood that one veteran told me never quite leaves his memory. Even for Canada's top general, a battle-hardened commander, the emotion was evident as he reflected on the sacrifice Canadian troops have made to ensure our peace and freedom.
I think of my troops that I lost, that I remember, that I knew personally. I think of my dad, who's passed now, who served 37 years in the forces. And I've got to tell you, it's a bittersweet day as we think of those who we lost and those who served. That's hard.
There is pain, too, for those who came home from the war forever changed. The country still continues to struggle with an epidemic of veteran suicides. The Chaplain General took a moment to remember them as casualties of war, too.
Those for whom suffering was so intense, whose despair so profound, that they were unable to see a way forward.
The Veterans Affairs Minister pledged more will be done to help Canadian veterans battle invisible wounds.
The Afghan veterans and other veterans are, we strive to make sure that we serve them properly, but it was, their injuries you cannot see. That is the difference, really. You cannot see, but they're not well.
Veterans continue to struggle today with long wait times and inadequate resources. But Donna, one thing they all say they hope Canadians will remember in this, their families and the sacrifices that they have made too.
All right, and welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, as I said, that's what I was thinking as the story was unfolding, as listening to what the general had to say. I mean, stories of men dying in their colleagues' arms, telling and to tell their wife how much they love them and family, things like that. This is what we always remember on this day. We never forget the sacrifice and the sadness. This is why you see so many of the veterans with, as I say, hidden. You don't see the injuries because it's too intense. It's in their mind. And sadly, as I say, we hear the losses of some that can't bear it. And sadly, succumb to maybe taking their lives or whatever. And we do hear that. It never goes away. We're always hearing these stories. And we hope and we pray that... But our governments will do something to help these people that are suffering. And please don't let them come back and waste their lives in that way. They've got to be helped. And I think we've always said that, haven't we, Dave? And with that, I'm going to pass it back to you because my phone keeps beeping. I'm not sure I'm going to cut off. But if I am, I am. But Dave, that's what I was thinking. I was listening and I was thinking how much sadness there is on Remembrance Day, but at the same time, it's got to be a day of remembering the fallen. Back to you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And yeah, if you happen to fall out, then that's okay. I'll go ahead and close down the show. But we have a way, I think, to end this show on a positive note. And I know that is kind of incongruous to think of ending a show about Remembrance Day and Veterans Day on a positive note, but the positive note is that the experiences of the veterans need to be passed down to the succeeding generations. And I've got this very short one here, this very short audio here, just to give proper credit. This comes from a story by Tyler Eckner of KCAU-TV Channel 9 in Sioux City, Iowa. And give this a listen. This will be our last one. You're listening to the English Fence League Radio Show.
now, Sioux City Middle School welcomed local veterans into their school. This event opened up the doors to thank those who served. Students got to talk with the veterans and learn a little more about what they did during their time in the service. South Sioux City Middle School's guidance counselor, Kelly Ron, says this event allowed the students to give their gratitude and respect to veterans one-on-one.
I hope the veterans have a feeling of gratitude and respect from our 8th grade students that provide the program, and for our 8th graders, we would want them to learn the historic events that have gotten us to where we are today.
Ron says she hopes the students also take away how much veterans have sacrificed for our country.
And there we go. Bringing it to the next generation. Jeff, back to you for your final words on this.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say,
isn't
it wonderful to see those students welcoming veterans in there and wanting to talk to them and have them involved with what was going on. I think that's brilliant. And a lot of these high schools and other students should be interested, because it's people like those people, the veterans, that put their lives on the line to protect them and their country. So big respect for the I can never pronounce that name properly. Soyuz. Thank you, Dave. I always get it wrong. Sorry.
Well, no reason to apologize, Jeff. And God knows I've butchered enough names from over in the UK, and I always apologize for that. We do our best, folks. We do our best. Yeah, but that's Sioux City, Iowa. I was one of the few states in the United
States.
Yeah, yeah. It's just don't look at it as it's spelled, because you'll really get confused. Okay, so that's basically it for the show, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And please pass this around. Show may have started out a bit rocky, but I think that we've given you guys a little bit of a decent recognition of those who we owe so much to. And I want to thank Duck Northwest Media and Biggie for being in the chat. And Jeff, we do have the normal play out that we do for Veterans Day and Memorial Day now. This was found by Jan Rennie, by the way. So if you guys missed that Remembrance 100 show, you'll get to hear that the playout song again. Once Jeff gives me the high sign, and I'll just say God bless everybody, and we will see you next week as we go live again for another English Defense League radio show. God bless you. God bless our veterans.
Thank you, Dave, for those great words. And I'd like this once again to thank Duck Northwest Media and, of course, our Bigfoot for joining us in the chat this week. And we will see you again next week. I hope people listen to this show, because as Dave said, it was started a little bit rocky because I was a little bit winging, but at the same time, I wanted to discuss what we've been talking about, myself and Dave, for this evening, and I think we've rounded it up in the right way. So with that, Dave, let me pass the reins back to you and say God bless, take care everybody, stay safe, and don't forget, no surrender, ever. With that, Dave, back to you to play us out. God bless, mate.
How do you do, young Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while, neath the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you are only 19 when you joined the great fallen in 1916. I hope you died well, and I hope you died clean. Our young Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did he beat
The drums slowly did they play, the fife slowly did they sound, the death march as they lowered you down. And did the band play the last pause and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did you leave a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined. Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed and forever behind the glass frame, in an old photograph torn, battered and stained, and faded to yellow in the brown leather frame? Did he beat the drum slowly, did he play the fife slowly, did I sound the death march as he lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun, now it shines on the green fields of France. There's a warm summer breeze, it makes the red poppies dance. And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gun firing now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sand. To a man's blind indifference to his fellow man, to a whole generation that were butchered and damned. Did he beat the drum slowly, did he play the fife slowly, did he sound the death march as he lowered you down? And did the band play the last pause and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the fall? Ah, young Willie, my bride, I can't help wondering why. Do those that lie here know why did they die? And did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this war would end war? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again, and again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drum slowly, did they play the fife slowly, did they sound the death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last pause and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did they beat the drum slowly, did they play the fife slowly, did they sound the death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last pause and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the fall?
Wow, what a powerful, beautiful tune. to finish the show for tonight. I've got to thank you, Dave. I've heard so many few times, and I still love that tune. It makes my heart sing. And makes me sad at the same time. It's very strange. I just want, there's a couple of comments before we close out the show, before I say goodnight to all of our listeners out there. Bigfoot says, near where I live in Maryland, there's a street called Sioux Lane. This, of course, sounds like the name of a woman. I agree. It's very confusing. And Duck Northwest Media says, much thanks and appreciation to all for the program. A great way to start off the week. And Bigfoot says, thanks, Jeff and Agador. Good night, everyone. So there you go. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, anybody that listens to this show, whatever devices you're on, thanks for tuning in to the show this evening. And we will see you again next week. So there you go. So that's it. This is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight from myself and Dave, and we will see you again next week. Take care, stay safe, God bless, and no surrender ever. Good night, everybody.